content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the February 2022 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll begin today with the President's message, entitled Change Hearts, Change Minds, Change Actions. Dear Lions, it's no secret that the world is in need. One of the reasons I became a Lion was because I saw the way Lions were working in their communities to make a change. They were working to make things better for people, and that spoke to me. I wanted to be a part of that. Today, I couldn't be more proud to be a Lion, working with all of you every day to meet the needs of others. However, sometimes the problems seem so big, it's hard to know where to start. How do we make the big changes needed to see a difference in our world? We do it by changing ourselves. We do it by first changing our hearts, then our minds. And new actions will follow. We will lead by example. This is how we change the world. In this issue, you'll see stories that shine a light on a lot of the challenges we face. But in those stories, you'll also see how we are changing each and every day, each and every one of us, in order to address those challenges. We're saying no to single-use plastics. We're cleaning up beaches in order to build connections in our communities that will forge a deeper relationship between our environment and our cultures. We're building lighthouses to be a symbol of hope and guidance. Change is never easy. However, once we recognize the need to change our hearts, we can change our minds. And then it happens. We change and we create change. This is how we make a difference in our world. Yours in service, Douglas X. Alexander, International President of Lions Clubs International. We'll begin today in our Global Service Department with an article from the United States entitled Reaching Out. When Lions in Easton, Massachusetts saw images on TV of the devastation wrought by a tornado that tore through Kentucky in December of 2021, they knew they wanted to do something to help. It looked like something out of a movie, said Andrew Parker, president of the Easton Lions Club. When you see that level of destruction, it's visceral. It's like a bomb went off. Parker reached out to the Mayfield Lions Club, which was struck hard by the storm that cut a 200-mile-long path of death and destruction through the western part of the state. Our downtown took the main hit, says Mayfield Lion Jeff Green. The post office is gone. The courthouse is gone. The city hall is gone. Pictures just don't do justice to what happened here. Writing an email to other club members, Parker rallied their support for a fundraiser. One of the cruelest ironies is that the best gestures often arise out of terrible circumstances, he wrote. The tornadoes that ravaged the Midwest caused unimaginable damage, and their impact will last for generations. The Easton Club decided to dedicate a day's profits from a thrift store it operates to the Mayfield Club. Their efforts were bolstered by Bill's House of Pizza, a local pizzeria, which also held a fundraiser for tornado relief. In total, the efforts, which included individual donations from Lions, raised about $10,000 that was gratefully accepted by the Mayfield Lions, who are using it to help their neighbors repair and move back into their homes. The club also received a $20,000 disaster relief grant from Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF, that has been used to provide residents with propane heaters, hardware, and carbon monoxide alarms. The tornado took out everything, even our natural gas supply, says Green. According to Green, there were 477 families as of mid-January who couldn't yet return to their homes. Our plan is to help the families who we believe we can get back into their homes the quickest, Green says. The club also will use the funds to help residents furnish their homes. They don't have furniture, couches, plates, or glasses, he said. They have lost everything. Mayfield Lions established a 5-member tornado relief committee that will review applications for funds made by residents for such items as repairing roofs, restoring electricity, or buying furniture. They've also worked with the Graves County Office of Emergency Management to distribute items that people need, including food, blankets, cleaning supplies, generators, heaters, tarps, and bottled water. "We've put everything else on hold for now," he says. "We will continue when the time is right." One of the club's goals is to find a new place to meet. The restaurant where it met previously was damaged in the storm. Members have been meeting by Zoom and conversing by email, but communication is challenging because 3/4 of the city still doesn't have internet service. "It's important for us to meet in person so we can discuss what's going on in our county," Green says. As they work to rebuild their community, the Mayfield Lions are touched by the efforts of the Easton Lions to help them out. "It's awesome that they were willing to step up," he says. "The funds will be put to good use." Our next article, also from our Global Service Department, is from the United Kingdom, entitled "Smiling Bright: Animals on Campus Give Students a Boost." For the children at Purbright Village Primary School in Surrey, going to school just got a lot brighter. Nestled in the grounds on the campus in Purbright Nurture Farms, a therapy farm of small animals whose only job is to make children feel good. Teachers Dan Smith and his wife Helen recognized the impact of animals on positive mental health and were looking for land to create a therapy farm. When Smith spoke to Gavin Dutton, his head teacher at Purbright, they concluded that having a nurture farm on the school grounds could have a positive impact on the most vulnerable children. "It seemed like an excellent idea," says Dutton. "We had some areas where we could free up for the project, and we saw the opportunities for our pupils and for the wider community." The concept was that children would attend a series of sessions to support their specific needs, where they would look after the animals, improve the environment, and grow crops. The personalized and nurturing sessions would be available to children of all ages and could also support vulnerable families around Guildford, Woking, and beyond. However, to get the project off the ground, they would need some help. So Dutton and Smith asked the Guildford Lions for their support. They were the first to pledge financial support of £3,000, which is about $4,016. "The commitment from the Guildford Lions inspired us to push on," says Smith. By September of 2019, we had secured the rest of the money needed to make the project a reality. The construction of the farm area began. The project was in full flow by March 2020, and despite lockdown, the project continued and the first animals arrived. In some ways, the period of lockdown gave us the chance to complete everything to a high standard, without deadlines and without extra pressures. It also gave us time to help the animals settle in, says Smith. The farm sits at the front of the school, so it became a regular stopping-off point for members of the local community as they took their daily walks. In September of 2020, the farm started to provide much-needed support for children returning to school after a long period away. It also provided vital transition sessions for new military pupils, giving them a chance to spend time with their new classmates. Helen is now running sessions weekly for individuals or pairs of children from a variety of schools, family sessions, and wake-up sessions first thing in the morning. There are 4 Duke of Edinburgh volunteers fulfilling their responsibilities for their awards and a regular group of adult volunteers. Thanks to funding and community support, especially from the Guildford Lions who provided the initial funding, Purbright Nurture Farm is flourishing, with more than 30 animals, including goats, pigs, hens, ducks, rabbits, guinea pigs, tortoises, and lizards, as well as allotments and a greenhouse. Guildford Lions have now committed a further £500, or $670, toward the farm, so that Kunakuns, a breed of small pig, Clementine and Martha, can have their own field shelter, wallow pool, and feeding troughs. The aim is to eventually be able to run sessions in the summer holidays to provide respite for families during the long period away from school. For now, the children and the community will enjoy the company of the farm's animals and take those good feelings into the work they do in the classroom and in the world. Our next Global Service article is called Tied to the Land. It's from Lithuania and says, protecting a unique cultural landscape that is both shaped and been shaped by humans. The Curonian Spit, an elongated sand dune peninsula separating the Baltic Sea from the Curonian Lagoon in Lithuania, was formed more than 5,000 years ago. Situated in the Curonian Spit National Park in Lithuania and the Krushkaya National Park of the Russian Federation, the sandy and wooded landscape is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, but was once nearly destroyed through a combination of human activity and natural forces. Formed on the moraine islands from sand transported by currents and later covered by forests, humans made their homes in the area in the small Curonian lagoon settlements. However, intensive logging in the 17th and 18th centuries led to depletion of the area's natural protections against the wind and water, causing migration of the dunes. The settlements were buried under sand, forcing people out of their homes and threatening the existence of small fishing villages and the land itself. Since the 19th century, the spit has been preserved through the tireless efforts of conservation groups. Dune stabilization work included building a protective ridge along the seashore to prevent inland sand migration, using trees and brushwood hedges to reinforce the remaining dunes. And lions have been actively participating in those restoration efforts. On the hottest day of the summer in 2021, approximately 150 lions and leos helped the local workers of the National Park Administration to uproot invasive plants. Moreover, the timing was crucial. The invasive Scotch broom plants were just starting to bloom and spread their seeds. The biological diversity is very sensitive in Curonian Spit, says Fesser. This is what makes it so unique. We have to take care of it if we want to preserve it for future generations. Lions pulled weeds in the field, but didn't let the day go by without sharing moments of togetherness and joy. After the hard work, they had a picnic in the Bay of Amber, traditional fish soup served with a deer horn ladle. Because the event was also part of their New Voices Symposium, lions in District 131 decided to inspire others and potentially gain new members by inviting the public to participate. Rangers from the Park Service talked about the peculiarities of their work. Lions exchanged their experiences with leos, and in the afternoon, they were all invited on a tour to an ancient forest. Environmental sustainability is one of the priorities of Lions Clubs, says District Governor Daiva Griskani. In Lithuania, many clubs have chosen to participate in the restoration and protection of the environment. We have seen how our efforts to conserve natural resources and to care from our environment can improve the well-being of the local community, as well as increase the involvement and engagement of lions. Many lions brought their children to the event to share with them the beauty of the spot and instill in them a longing to preserve it. It's important to raise conscious, social children and set a good example for them, says DG Griskani. The Curonian Spit showcases the impact of human intervention, both good and bad. We have the capability to destroy nature, but also to bring it back, he said. Ultimately, the goal is to preserve it so that there will be less needed to recover what is lost. The day ended with a team of volunteers and rangers watching the sun go down over the waves of the Baltic Sea. It will rise again in the Curonian Lagoon, as it does every day, in a cycle that Lithuanian lions hope to keep intact for generations to come. And next, we're going to move over to our features department with an article called Hope Aglow, Haitians Help Haitians in the Aftermath of Successive Tragedies. On Saturday, August 14th, 2021, at 8:29 a.m. local time, a 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck the southwestern part of Haiti. That day, over 2,200 people were killed, and more than 130 homes and buildings were damaged or destroyed. It was another crisis, on top of what the country was already facing: political instability, COVID-19, food insecurity, and the after effects of a previous earthquake and hurricane. Local Lions sprung into action quickly, says Cassandra Bird, division manager of global grants from Lions Clubs International Foundation, or LCIF. Just hours after the earthquake struck, Lions in Haiti gathered and immediately began developing a comprehensive relief plan. The most affected area was in Les Cayes, a three-hour journey south from the capital of Port-au-Prince. Lions had many factors to consider: what supplies were needed, how to transport them to more rural areas of the affected region, how to navigate the challenges of insecurity in the region, and how to best meet the needs of the local people. It was a tall order, but Lions were ready. Lions in Haiti had the connections, know-how, and disaster relief planning experience from a previous earthquake disaster in 2010, when a 7.0 magnitude earthquake hit just 25 miles west of Port-au-Prince and affected 6.5 million people living within 50 miles of its epicenter. Lions have a better concept of what happened previously and the challenges, and organized around that, says Bird, who has worked with Lions in Haiti for the past 10 years. During the first earthquake disaster, Lions had a lot to figure out, and fast. Who can we network with on the ground? Who do we partner with? They asked. The country was inundated with foreign non-governmental organizations, also known as NGOs, trying to provide relief, and there was a lot of difficulty in navigating who had and hadn't been helped and where the Lions could best assist with their relief efforts. This time, with the help of $100,000 U.S. dollar major catastrophe grant from LCIF, Lions were able to provide immediate relief to three remote local communities, providing food, water, medical supplies, and moral support. From August 21st through 31st, 2021, they handed out 2,300 bottles of water and 1,890 food and hygiene kits prepared by the LEOs of Port-au-Prince. Under the leadership of District Governor William Alechin, shelters were established in the first 3 days. Support of all kinds have been delivered to the South Department by all existing clubs in Haiti, said DG Elation. These donations, in terms of potable water, food, and shelters, have been delivered in all towns affected by the earthquake. It is extremely important to stress the major role of the local clubs, since all of them have contributed to the relief effort. With the help of the Lions of Sweden, the Lions of Haiti received 200 family-sized tents and 15 large tents, providing shelter to families who were now exposed to the elements and afraid to sleep indoors, children needing a place to go to school, and medical staff providing medical relief. The three Swedish Lions even came to Haiti to support the local Lions for several weeks, assisting with tent setup and training. We are not about to forget that, says DG Elation. Haitian photographer Pierre Moise spent several days with local Lions as they pursued their relief efforts. He recalls seeing a group of young Lions walking through the city of Les Cayes, where nearly 60% of the buildings were damaged or destroyed. They were doing a good job to distribute tents and aid, he says, over a WhatsApp call. He noticed the faces of the local people and recalled how satisfied they felt. A lot of people want to become Lions, he says. They see the Lions helping the population and doing good things. Hope, he says. Lions develop and extend it to people. The distance was a major challenge. A majority of the clubs had to travel many hours to get to the affected areas. The trip from Port-au-Prince, where they'd received and readied the disaster relief resources, was a 3-hour drive. But with narrow bridges, unpaved roads, traffic, and the threat of bandits, getting supplies to the area sometimes took up to 10 or more hours. Plus, the cargo was large, heavy, and difficult to transport. According to the third report written by the Lions of Haiti to LCIF, the 200 family-sized tents and 15 large tents filled 5 40-foot containers and had to pass through rough country to get there. There are things that could help. One intermediate solution would be to have a helicopter, says Elation, but he would settle for more reliable ground transport as well. Having one truck and a 4-wheel drive pickup would be pluses, since it would spare us having to rent them all the time. Every time we move, we put our lives in jeopardy, says DG Elation. Channeling help to the needy is extremely difficult and risky. The solution is political, and due to the nature of our organization, there is nothing much we can do about it. There was one incident where an armed group of bandits held up the caravan of supplies, but Lions were able to negotiate and get past the blockade safely and with their supplies intact. The next challenge was to determine where to leave their supplies for distribution to the more rural areas, but no one wanted to have a supply depot close by. There was, and still is, an immensity of needs, says DG Elation. And those needs drove desperation. Even the local police station had experienced a battle during food distribution. Finally, after speaking with the community, Lions were able to connect with a couple willing to lend a courtyard in the Bourdais area away from the city center to distribute relief goods. Lions distributed by zone, deliberately targeting vulnerable populations far away from the city, sometimes sleeping days in the street or in the car to provide on-the-ground relief. More than 6,900 people were injured, and over 83,000 homes were damaged or destroyed by the earthquake. There are, quote, thousands and thousands who cannot provide the most basic needs, says DG Elation. Literally thousands of houses and hundreds of schools need to be rebuilt and rebuilt properly. Access to the depot, however, was made difficult by a small canal. Lions' Mark Cornet and Josue Heat Jean recognized the need for a bridge over the canal to help support transport supplies safely and more efficiently from the local distribution depot to the affected communities. They then organized the building of a small bridge, creating a long-term improvement for the area. The third challenge was managing the effects of the aftershocks and the subsequent emotional trauma felt by the local population. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, 22 aftershocks between 4.0 and 5.8 magnitude were felt days after the initial earthquake, particularly in the Nipis department. People were afraid to sleep indoors, and for good reason. After the 2016 landfall of Hurricane Matthew, many locals replaced their tin or wooden roofs with concrete for greater protection from the stormy weather. However, a majority of these structures were not earthquake-proof, so when the earthquake struck, roofs collapsed, causing many people to fear being inside concrete buildings. To alleviate some of the fear, local Lions provided structural assessments of homes with volunteer engineers and technicians, evaluating each home with a color code, red for demolition, yellow for repair, and green for use. In their Phase 2 plan for long-term development, Lions aimed to institute a cash and food for work program to help those unemployed by the earthquake re-enter the workforce by clearing rubble and rebuilding buildings. To help youth reduce their stress in response to trauma, Lions are hoping to promote the use of art, music, and sports in schools. Amidst the challenges, Lions are very resilient, and they have the community support, Bird says. They are committed to the people of Haiti, and people know they can depend on them. Long after the cameras turn off, the Lions are there, because this is the community where they live and serve, she says. Moise knows the importance of the Haitian Lions helping their own communities. People in the earthquake area don't want outside people to come to them. They prefer to help themselves, and they are determined for that, he says. The local Lions of Haiti are at the core and center of long-term reconstruction efforts. The first club in Haiti chartered in 1982, and the number of clubs continues to expand across the country. However, Lions in Haiti recognize they can't tackle these challenges alone. We do appreciate the help of our Lions brothers and sisters, and in the name of the Haitian people, we thank them from the deepest of our hearts, says DG Elation. Things have been tough for us recently, yet we have witnessed a spontaneous movement of solidarity toward those who are suffering the most. He continues, such a country cannot die, and our modest efforts to help will contribute to creating a new Haiti where, thanks to all of us, hope will finally glow. And we're going to round off our 30 minutes with some club news for February of 2022, beginning with the Norwalk Lions Club in Wisconsin, celebrating its 70th anniversary and donating $5,000 to Sparta Area Cancer Support. Lion Jameen Farrell of the New Haven, Connecticut Lions Club uses the Lions Quest program in her social-emotional learning classes she teaches to grades kindergarten through fourth at Seth Haley Elementary School in West Haven. For the past 10 years, she has asked children to make handmade Christmas, holiday, and get-well cards for the hospitalized veterans in the West Haven Veterans Hospital. This year, 350 students made 407 cards. In Illinois, members of the Riverside Lions Club collected donations, included diapers, food, toiletries, tarps, and extension cords for tornado victims. In Wisconsin, the Howard Village Board agreed to name their new park Lions Park in recognition of the continued service provided to the village by the Howard Suamico Lions Club. An earlier survey of the communities of Howard and Suamico showed that residents of both villages were committed to having good parks. The club plans to donate $10,000 toward improvements in the park. The 29 Lions clubs in Pennsylvania's District 14K had a district-wide fundraiser. They had a sellout crowd at their bingo and basket raffle night. About 250 people raised thousands of dollars, donating $8,500 to Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital. The money will be used for research and to pay for infusions for kids who need them but aren't covered by insurance. And also, several clubs also donated toys, games, and puzzles for the children. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Net Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for our print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful day.